So, Danny, on my way into recording today, I saw thousands of people on campus.
Thousands?
Which only can mean one thing. Do you know what that is?
Well, it's definitely not summer semester, because there's definitely not thousands of people on campus for that.
I think it means that either the Utes are in the Final Four,
Woo!
Or it's graduation season.
I think it's probably graduation season is going to be my best guess.
What is your favorite part of graduation season?
Oh my gosh, so much. But I think it's just that everyone kind of comes together for a positive vibe in education. Everyone is so proud. I think my second crop of fourth graders are graduating this year. They're like basically grown-ups.
Yeah, my second graduating class when I taught probably have graduates themselves now.
Oh, wow.
That makes me a little old, but that's okay. Well, we're excited to start, so let's see if we can hear the bell above all the graduate hoo-ha.
All right, Jared, we're here today. We're going to talk about professional learning. So, what does that mean to you? We're on the professional development team at UEN, but what's professional learning?
That's a really good question. You know, I would say originally that I would think that that's what we do to continue our education once we've already kind of got a career or got a degree in something, but we want to keep learning.
Okay. All right.
But that's kind of a traditional definition. I'm sure it's changed so much over the years.
I think you're right. I think there's someone that we should probably talk to about this.
We've brought in an expert today.
Oh, that's what I like to hear.
So today we're going to be talking about the changing face of professional learning with Jared Fossen. Jared is a senior technology trainer at the Utah Education Network, and he's a part-time sub on the UEN Homeroom, so many of you will recognize his voice as he comes into our podcast today. Jared teaches, guides, consults, and helps educators of any level efficiently use technology in the classroom, creating meaningful and engaging professional learning experiences that can be applied directly into the classroom are Jared's focus as he develops courses and presentations for UEN. He has also used his expertise to present at many schools and districts across the state of Utah. Prior to his work at the Utah Education Network, Jared was an award-winning teacher in the Davis and Granite school districts, where he taught about every subject you can at the junior high level. Jared earned his social science composite teaching degree and his master's of instructional design and educational technology from the University of Utah. When it comes to his free time, Jared enjoys exploring the world with his family, nature on his mountain bike, and trying to hit a small white ball as far as he can with an instrument ill-suited for such a purpose. We'd like to welcome Jared Fossen.
Fossen!
All right, glad to be here. And a little different not being a sub and actually being interviewed. So
I know. How do you feel about that?
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah,
Is it
I would
more
be.
Or less pressure?
It's a lot more pressure.
We got the easy job.
Yeah, we just have to ask questions. He has to sound.
Yeah, he's got
to
know the answers. He's got to sound smart.
Right now, so.
All right, since you've been a sub, you know the drill. You got to start out with questions from one of our Utah students. Is that the most nerve-wracking part of this?
I hope not. I think I'm ready for these.
Okay.
Depending
He's
on what
ready.
They ask.
All right.
If you could eat dinner with anyone alive, who could it be?
Okay, I thought I was ready until you ask like a question that has so many possible answers to it. You know, I think like if I could have dinner with anybody that's alive right now, I would probably. We'll go local with this one, and we'll make this kind of a dinner that could be good for education. I think I would pick our Lieutenant Governor, Spencer Cox. I think he's a pretty fascinating person, and I think he'd be a good person to have dinner with.
I think that's a great pick.
I would love to have dinner with Spencer Cox. Does it have to be on his podcast? Could we, or would you like a private meeting with him?
Well, I mean, the selfish part of me would say, hey, it'd be great just to have a private meeting. But, you know, whatever would get it done, I'd be okay with. So the Cox and Friends group seemed like a fun bunch. So
that would be a great group to have, like, a group dinner with.
And I know Spencer's big on, like, different food places, and so, like, there would be that element too.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
That's a great choice. All right, next question.
What car is your favorite car ever?
So kind of car, you mean like a bus or a sports car, or like you want me to be specific, like if I could have any car? Like,
I think you need to be specific.
The kids ask the question. Yeah,
I think you
they
need to
know
be
what
specific.
Kind of car you want, I think. Like if you could drive any car, what would you want?
Well, it'd be a Ferrari, like without a doubt.
Not a 750 Lambo in the Utah snow?
No, like Ferrari has a clear edge over Lamborghini, so.
Oh, I think Post Malone would disagree.
Yeah, well.
The only car I ever even hear about at my house are Bugattis. So,
really?
Yeah, that's like, I just was driving a car with 4 12-year-olds in the back,
mm-hmm.
and they were debating about how many Bugattis versus Mercedes-Benz like SUVs they were going to own when they were adults.
What jobs are they going to have? I want to be those 12-year-olds.
They're all
going to
be YouTubers. I think.
No, they're all going to be teachers.
There
right?
might be in the NBA.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they might all end up in the NBA. At 12, you know, they still have a shot.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Last question, Fossen.
What is your favorite word?
So my favorite word actually is a Samoan word, and it is spelled U-I-I. It's pronounced wii, and it means the youngest in the family. But when I first saw that word, I just thought, what can this even be? Like, how do you even say it? So U-I-I, and it's pronounced wii, and it means the youngest in the family.
I love it. That's a great answer.
I have never heard of that word before.
Me either.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm going to bet that nobody listening to the podcast has heard this word before.
We're going to start getting callers
when
in.
When we
like,
usually describe the youngest in the family, we just use the word spoiled.
Right. Not fair. We. So there you go.
Well, those are some interesting questions, and we appreciate your answers, Jared. We always are fascinated by what the kids around Utah will ask and what our guests come up with when we find out.
I know. It's
a
great way
them.
To get to know someone a little better, really quickly.
Even though we thought we knew
yeah.
Mr. Fossen.
Fossen surprised me, I'm not going to lie.
Well, let's jump in and talk a little bit about professional learning. Even though all of us in the room are kind of involved in professional learning, it has a lot of different connotations to people. Danny asked me earlier what I thought about it. Let's get your take, Jared. What do you think when people talk about professional learning?
You know, I think for me, and I'm going to say for me on this one, it means that I'm going to learn more about things that I would do professionally. Now, there's a wide range that can go with that, right? Like in education, we can talk about pedagogy. Being that we're kind of technology people, it could be the technology piece of it. It could be that combined. I think there's a lot that can go with it. But overall, to me, it's about the constant improvement and learning about whatever it is that you do.
I think that's a great definition, Jared. As we've been in our roles at UEN, professional learning has evolved. So Jared and I started around the same time, and so it hasn't been that long, almost 5 years. So depending on your definition of a long time. But what's changed?
Do we want to talk in those 5 years or since I've been in education, or how do you want me to go with this?
As long as you've been in education, I think it's good to start there.
You know, I remember when I first started teaching, it felt like the only professional development or learning that I was getting was what was provided for me. And a lot of that I didn't think was relevant, and there wasn't as many options. It was kind of like, this is what the principal or the district has decided that you get to do today. And I think that's definitely changed throughout the years, and now there's just so many more options for teachers and educators, as well as the nature of the professional learning itself has changed and the access to it.
You know, when you describe that, Jared, it kind of makes me think about, let's say we're having lunch, It's the difference between going to the cafeteria and there are three options and you get to pick one of those three options. They've already kind of been decided for you and they're all nutritious. They're all probably good for you and all that kind of stuff, but it may not be exactly what meets your needs or what you want, as opposed to going out and going to like a food court where there's a million different choices. Some may be healthy, some may be a little less healthy and things like that, but you can find some of what you're looking for just because you've got so many different options available.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that's changed in the time that we've been at UEN is when Danny and I first started, there was really only two ways we did classes. We had in-person and we had online. And now we have a mixture of both that we call a flex course, and we have a completely like online with no deadlines called a MOOC or a massive open online course. And like I'd say like overall our trainings have become much more flexible. And that seems to be one of the hallmarks of professional learning nowadays, is just the flexibility of it. And like I can put my kids to bed, I can be in my pajamas, and I can say, hey, you know what would be great is if I learned a little bit more about this and I can hop online and get more information on it.
I am truly most productive when in my pajamas, so I would 100% be on board with this type of learning. Just putting that out there.
You know, it's funny because you describe some different styles of learning. And when I first got hired, my first real role at UEN was I was called the UEN TV workshop coordinator. And so our style of distance learning was that you could watch Saturday mornings between 8 and probably 2 in the afternoon. We broadcast a series of educational programming, and you could watch those, and then there was an online component that you would complete. But think about what you just described. As whenever you have a few minutes, you can sit down and you can do some research, you can find something that you're interested in, as opposed to what I just described, where it was once a week, you either had to watch it on TV and sit there for an hour, or you had to record it, and then you had to do something with that afterwards. Kind of a regimented, very synchronous style of learning.
Right, and access has changed so much in the past, I don't know, we'll say 20 years, but especially in the last 10 to 5, where like if with your own kids, like if they want to find something out, like they don't wait around, they'll go look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and even 10 years ago, someone might have gone to a library to get a book on something, and they still do, but I'm just saying, like, they've probably already got a lot of background information from searching the web in different forms before they even go find that book.
So what Jared was describing to me was kind of more like the classic professional development, right? It's at a set time. Someone else has predetermined what's going to be on that TV station or at your faculty meeting. It's a one-time thing. You're professionally developed. Go on, teach the world. Now, we kind of focus on professional learning, and it's more of an ongoing focus, and there's more choice and more voice, just like we want for our students. How would you see that that's improved education?
Well, I mean, the one size doesn't fit all, I think, is the first place to begin with on where it's improved. And if I need to get more, you know, get caught up in certain areas and I have to wait for the principal to decide what that's going to be, like, that may never happen. Whereas, you know, now I can just hop online and say, you know what, I'd really like to learn these Microsoft tools a little bit better, or, you know, whatever it is that you want to learn about, and you can. Like, there's so many resources out there now. You don't have to wait for, you know, leadership to say, this is where we're going to go with it. You can just get there yourself.
Right. Well, and then as for school leaders or districts, what options can they offer for their teachers so they're not just being so prescriptive?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the other things that's changed as well, is the districts offer a lot better and a lot more diverse PD than they ever have. And I think they've realized that, hey, we can't just say, hey, we're a Microsoft district and that's all we're going to do. Like, we still need to make sure that we're covering, like, how to best, you know, like, blended, how we can best use technology in the class, and, you know, how do we use different tools that way. And so districts have a much bigger array of courses as well as just opportunities for their teachers.
Well, and I think one of the things that I'm hearing you say, Jared, is leadership in districts doesn't have to be experts on all of these different technologies or pedagogical strategies or all that kind of stuff. But maybe what they do have to really delve into and become experts on are what are the opportunities that are out there for their teachers to learn about things. They don't have to become the ones that provide the trainings. And that's one of the big changes I see is that districts had to do everything in-house. They don't need to do that anymore, but they do need to know what are the options available for teachers outside of house. Not all of them, but at least enough that they can steer people in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I've seen, at least with the administrators that I've worked with throughout the state, there is a much greater willingness for them to ask their faculties and say, what is it that you would like to learn about? Because we want to make sure that we're providing what's going to benefit you the most. Whereas I think in the past, that I don't know that administrators were always as willing to go to their staff for, you know, what they wanted.
Isn't that crazy? Just as we're talking about the changing nature of professional learning, it also kind of changes the kind of the lay of the land for leadership in schools. Instead of having to be the fount of knowledge, just like teachers in the fountain knowledge in the classroom, we've got to be able to crowdsource and utilize the people that we work with to meet their needs. So, Jared, you mentioned a couple different things that you've kind of seen. Like, you mentioned Microsoft districts and how they can learn about these tools, or we know a lot of the school districts around Utah are using Google. Just recently, we've been at a lot of things where we're talking about Adobe. Can you maybe mention some of the different opportunities and resources that are available to teachers who want to learn how to implement some of these tools in their classrooms?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this is another thing that has changed really in the last 5 years is all of the companies that you mentioned, Microsoft, Google, and Adobe, as well as probably any software company out there, has come up with their own like professional development, their own learning videos that they have, and most of them have a certification process where you can say, hey, if I want to, I heard this new tool called Nearpod, I want to learn more about it. And then you go to the site and it'll say, hey, you can become a Nearpod certified teacher. This is what you have to do. Or you can become a Microsoft Innovative Educator, or you can become Adobe certified. And so they all have their own trainings. And in my investigation of these, and I've investigated quite a few of them, I think most of you have, you know, as well, they're really good trainings. And they'll, at least, if nothing else, they'll give you a place to go when you have questions. You're like, okay, how can I do this? Rather than just do a Google search for everything, I can actually go to, you know, Microsoft or Nearpod and say, all right, how am I going to make this work? And then they'll have some training videos. And again, I can be in my pajamas and do that.
You know the best part about passing off those certifications, Danny?
What's the best part, Jared?
Is that you can create a really long email signature
with 20
to 25 different icons for all the certifications that you earned.
Oh, one day, dare to dream.
So what's the limit on an email signature?
Oh, the longer the better. People love it.
Okay. I can't wait to update my email signature after we get done then.
I'm excited to see this.
You
can't wait to get all the emails
animated
from you.
GIF that has them rotate through.
Oh. Yeah.
That's another neat way to do that.
I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah.
So, Jared, as you're describing these trainings, most of them are online. And I think when we take some of these trainings, we can take some of the best practices in online instruction and kind of infuse it with our own teaching styles. But what do you see as the benefit of online instruction versus in-person instruction, or kind of a blend of both?
Well, I think that's a great point, that teachers in general right now are trying to make those determinations themselves. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, there is the online, there is the in-person. Like, how do I make this balance so that when my kids come to class, like, let's say you're at a school that has a good access to devices. Are you just going to put them online the entire time they're in your class? Like, that's probably not the best use of their time or your time. That's probably not the best teaching that you can do. But having access online is can enhance and improve what you're doing in the classroom. So there has to be that balance. And I think it's going to be a little different for every subject and every teacher out there. But overall, it is an important thing to figure out.
Absolutely.
The balance between the in-person and the online. Because when it goes too far one way or the other, I do think that there can be trouble. But if you're going to err anyway, I would say err on the side of in-person rather than online.
Yeah, and I think we have this discussion with multimedia as well. Like, videos and interactives are incredible for enhancing education if they're paired with, you know, the right questions that spark deeper learning, if they're paired with the right activities. But just sitting in front of a computer all day watching movies or playing interactives, that's not going to be great for your learning.
Right. And I think, you know, another change that's happened over time is I remember when the iPad came out and, like, every teacher wanted one. And a lot of schools bought them, and then they didn't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And now there is much more of a focus on how do we best use technology, and then we match the tool or the device to fit that instead of the other way around.
Yeah, we already have these devices. We've got to figure out how to use them. Instead, people are being more intentional with, okay, this is what we want to do. What device or tool fits our needs?
Right. And I always think of, we're going to go back to the end of my bio where it talks about golf a little bit. I think.
Oh, that was golf that you were talking about?
Yeah, it was. The instrument ill-suited for such a purpose of hitting a little white ball. But yes, one of the things that golf works really well with is if I need to tee off and I've got to hit the ball like 300 yards, I'm not going to use my putter.
What?
I mean, I could, but it would.
So that's what I've been doing wrong?
Yeah, you got to hang out with Jared
thing,
a little bit
that's
wrong.
That's not the only thing you've been doing wrong.
Well, just remember, this is not a video podcast. No one has seen my swing out there but you.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, if you even thought of using the putter off the tee, that's a problem. But anyhow, the same thing goes with the technology tools. As you're thinking about, okay, what am I trying to do here? That should drive the thinking on which tool you should use instead of like, oh, this is really cool. I want to use this with my class. And I think we're getting away. We're moving past that thought where I used to hear that a lot when I first started teaching. Oh, here's a great activity to do with my students. And instead of like, well, why am I doing this? And what is the best way that I can do this? And what questions do I need to be asking? And so, you know, just I was trying to think about golf, and here's your golf analogy. Like, what is the right tool for the activity or the lesson that I'm trying to do with my students?
Exactly. And I think that can go back to professional learning as a whole. You know, what's the right tool for my teachers? What exactly do they need? And how are their needs different? And how can I best personalize for the staff on my faculty?
Do you know, one thing I want to just ask about just a little bit, we just talked about, you know, teachers having a blend of in-person versus online resources and some of these kinds of things. Tell me a little bit about what you think about the difference between in-person professional learning versus online professional learning. Because I'm thinking about this too, like, we don't want to ignore our colleagues in our buildings, but yet because of the internet, we have such a wide range of people that we can meet and learn from and explore. Tell me a little bit about your experience of using kind of that combination of in-person, you know, networking with your peers, maybe versus online social networking.
Well, I think to me, one of the big things that I've noticed as, you know, somebody who trains on this stuff is I get frustrated when I know that I can solve a problem if I was in person in like 5 seconds. And instead, because it's an online class, it's going to take me 5 emails over 3 days to fix this problem. And so the immediacy of the in-person, I do think beats anything, because you can have the conversation in the way that you need to. You can see maybe what's going on and where they need help, or, you know, what they're trying to do, and really get to the bottom of it with either a conversation or a quick demonstration. Whereas when it's online, like that, what's the right word here? You're just not, you don't have that same personality that goes with it. And it can feel distant, but the access is incredible, right? Like, I mean, that's the great thing about the online stuff is, I mean, I can access so many different things, but it doesn't have that same feel as when it is in person.
You know, I'm just thinking about something, Danny, because we had that interview recently with Pablo, and he was talking about how we need social credit within buildings to help technology adoption happen. And I think that's a little bit of what we're talking about here, is that I can watch a lot of YouTube videos to learn how to do something, but when my colleague next door shows it to me and shows me how he or she's using it, and I really trust this person and understand it, there's a lot of learning that takes place there. And some of it's just because of that social aspect of in-person learning.
Absolutely. I think any learning, when done best, is social. We know how much students learn when they're collaborating and communicating. So I think a lot of the online courses that do it best, they incorporate that social component, whether it be through an online discussion with peers in the class or creating a place for teachers or educators or students to share what they've learned.
Well, and I would say, like, across Utah, we know that Utah EdChat has been successful because there's a community that's developing there. It's not just this person shared the right answer with me or something, but we've built a relationship. Even though it's through the internet, we've connected in some way.
Right. And one thing that I would add, just as a side here, I don't necessarily believe that in-person is better, but I believe that it provides that immediate social part that we've been talking about that you can't always get in the online.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to replicate.
You know, but I've sat through some really boring in-person presentations that I wish I didn't have to sit through. And, you know, so I imagine some people are thinking about those moments that they've had as they're listening to this, like, in-person isn't everything it's cracked up to be. And that's right, and neither is online. But when things are intentional and, like, the instructor has really thought about how they want to do their training, like, that's where it can really, you know, make a difference. And, you know, I always think one of the toughest trainings to be at is where somebody is demonstrating something, but you don't have access to it yourself, and you just have to kind of sit there, and they're doing a how-to, and they're getting to, like, the real nitty-grittiest stuff, and you're just like, why do I have to sit through this? And if you were online, like, you wouldn't have that same problem. So, you know, there it does go vice versa, back forth.
Yeah, so intentionality, picking, again, the right tool for the right training for the right person.
That's such a key word out of what we're talking about today. Good professional learning, it doesn't matter where it takes place, as long as it's intentional and it meets the needs of the learner,
right?
Whether it's in person or online.
Right, and I've always felt like the best, for me, like if whether I'm online or in person, the best thing for me is that I can do something with it. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm creating something, I mean, like that's kind of how I learn, is I have to play around with, like if it's a technology tool, I have to play around with it a little bit. And so if I'm given a task to do something, like that's really going to help me out. And then if I know that I can walk away with something that's going to actually benefit me or my class, like even better.
And if we go back to those certifications you talked about earlier, Microsoft, Google, Adobe, Nearpod, all of these trainings are built upon that idea of the learners doing stuff and they're creating things while they're learning about the tools.
Right, something that's applicable for classroom use.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Jared, what do you see as the future of professional development in education or professional learning in education?
Well, I think it's going to go similar to how it has gone over the last 10 years, where there's just going to be more and more options. The access is going to increase. One thing that we really noticed this year at UEN was how much more the districts were providing than they had in the past for their teachers. Like I was so impressed with all the districts in the state by just the amount of, what's the right word here, just variety of courses and just opportunities for their teachers. And I just think that's going to continue to grow and grow. And I don't know, you know, like I said, like we've only been at UEN for like 4.5 years and we've changed a lot of what we've done. And so I can only imagine in the next 5 years that'll continue to improve and get better.
Yeah, and the variety of courses that we teach and end-of-lifing some and bringing on new ones. It's definitely been an exciting time to be involved in professional learning.
Yeah, and I would say that the topic that we've discussed today about the changes that we've seen, we're also seeing a changing face of the demographic of who is teaching. They're going to demand more, right? A 23-year-old is not going to sit by and wait for the sit and get that their parents may have because that was more of a traditional model.
Yeah.
They've grown up learning this, you know, this personalized way where they can learn whenever, however they want. They're going to demand more of us as a system.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't sit around and wonder how to do things anymore or who was that guy in that one movie. We find out immediately. We Google it. And so I think you're right. I think that the new generation of teachers, they want it more personalized. They want it more immediate.
Yeah, I can't imagine a 23-year-old saying, oh, I'll just wait until my principal comes up with a training on that.
Yeah, I can't use this software because I haven't had professional development yet. Yeah. Like, they're not going to say that at all. They'll just hop in there and start to figure it out.
Yeah.
Or they'll find people who can help them with it. You bet. Well, thanks, Jared. We really appreciate you stopping by the podcast today. So you've now accomplished the goal of being a guest instead of just a host. Take a deep breath. How was it?
It was good. You know, I really appreciate this podcast. I think it, you know, really gives a different conversation than you can have maybe in any other way about education. And so I'm glad to be on the other end of it than just asking the questions.
So Danny, do you want to give our audience a tech tip today?
I mean, do we have to?
Well, I mean, this is a podcast kind of about technology.
I'm tired. Do you have a tech tip for today?
I mean, I guess if I have to, I can come up with one.
I mean, well, you're not entirely out of the hot seat yet because we need our lazy teacher tech tip. And it just so happens that Jared Cavilli and I are way too lazy to come up with one today.
I'm going to go chase a little white ball around the ground or something.
Well, I'll come with you, but I'll answer the question first.
Okay. So what's the lazy teacher tech tip?
So we talked a little bit about the Adobe options that are there, and they have what's called the Adobe Education Exchange. And the great thing about it is they have tons of courses. It's not like there's just like how to use Adobe Spark. That's there, but there's probably like 50 other courses that they have. And you take a few of these courses and you can get certified as an Adobe educator. And so I would just encourage people to, you know, get signed up with the Adobe Education Exchange and start learning more about the Adobe products. If you're not familiar, the state has provided a license for all the Utah students and teachers in the state.
Yeah, 7th through 12th grade will have access to Creative Commons. And so we're hoping to get our teachers on board with the Adobe Education Exchange. We're also at UEN, we're going to be offering a MOOC course that goes along with that. So Jared, what's the benefit of having a MOOC course when I can just learn everything in the Adobe Exchange?
Well, there's a few benefits. Number one, I think as we're kind of hitting summer, one of the best things about the MOOC is you don't have any deadlines with it. And so, you know you've got some vacations coming up here in the summer. So you can hop in there, work for a little bit on it, and then, you know, go to Bear Lake or go to Maui or wherever you're going to go for a couple weeks, and then come back and you can work.
That's quite a change between Bear Lake and Maui.
But I think those are two destinations that Utahns go to. So
that's a good point.
I can definitely say I've been to the Bear Lake Beach. I don't know if I've been to the Maui Beach.
Well, I think a lot of Utahns want to go to Hawaii. So, but, you know, you get the point there. Yeah. So the other thing about it is by taking the MOOC, you will get credit, and that counts for relationship points as well as lane change credit. And
ding, 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 ding.
By completing the MOOC, you do get your Adobe certification. So it is set up so that if you follow the MOOC, you'll get certified with the Adobe products.
Yeah, you'll get your Adobe Campus Leader, acronym ACL.
Ooh. Yet another thing to put in your email signature, which is always exciting. And a special thank you, shout out to our colleague Rob Bentley for making that course.
One other thing we should just mention, we talked about how students 7 through 12 will get access to the Adobe tools, but all teachers will get access to the tools, right? Even elementary school teachers will be able to use the tools with their own account.
Fabulous.
So everybody can have a shot at working on some of these things and exploring them. Now that is a lazy teacher tech tip.
That's what I like to hear for over the summer, because we all know that lazy teachers are going to be doing online learning all summer long. I'm going to get my husband Zach on that.
Well, one thing we can say about teachers is we know that they're going to be working in the summer.
Oh my gosh. Without a doubt.
So Danny, I have learned so much about the changing face of personalized and professional learning.
I know. It's a good topic for right now. Very timely, because a lot is shifting around. We're seeing a big change in how districts are going about their professional learning plans.
There's no question that districts who kind of only see a traditional form of professional learning are going to have teachers who won't be satisfied with that.
Right.
And so I love the ideas that Jared gave us, some great options for people to go out and maybe work on a certification or just learn the tools, even if they don't necessarily want to go all the way to a certification. Tons of ways just to learn the stuff that they want to learn.
Absolutely. All right, Jared, guess what?
What's that?
I just heard the bell. We got to get out of here.
Even during the summer, there's a bell?
There's always a bell.